Welcome to B2B, Boots to Books, the show where we explore the journeys of veterans and military-connected students as they navigate their paths from service to the classroom and beyond. I'm Dustin Abrego.
And I'm Rebecca Allen, your hosts. Each week, we'll dive into powerful stories of resilience, determination, and success.
Whether you're a veteran yourself, a military family member, or simply inspired by the strength of those who serve, you're in the right place.
Let's turn the page and start this incredible journey together.
Hello, and welcome back to B2B. I'm Dustin Brego.
And I'm Rebecca Allen.
This week, we're going to be chatting really about trying to figure out what your purpose is, our purpose. We have our own life stories, and then also interacting with students and things. And Rebecca has really pulled up some really great questions that are general themes either that we've experienced in our own time in school or working with students and people as they navigate this process. So picking the right major immediately, how often do you see this? I obviously see it all the time, but for you, how does that show up?
So from a professional standpoint, I actually saw it more when I was working with like guardsmen who were talking about, well, it's time for me to go to school. I have to go to school. That's like, that's the next logical step. And I have to know exactly what I'm doing right away. And I feel like I saw that all the time, especially with younger soldiers who they were told that this is what they needed to do. You have to go to school. And there was also that stigma of if you don't know what you're doing, you're wrong. So I saw that a lot. I feel like I actually don't see it as much now working with students, which is a little, you would think that it'd be the other way around.
Probably because they ask me that.
Probably. Yeah. By the time they get to me, they usually have had some guidance.
So. For your own time though in school, did you feel that?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yep. So I changed my major 3 times over the course of whatever 10 years it took me to finish school. So there was definitely pressure to find the right thing the first time around. And I got through my first semester of my freshman year and realized, oh, no, I can't do this thing that I was planning on doing. So had to change.
What was it?
Meteorology.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that's what I was like, I want to do that. And then like that class
humbles
you very quickly. Yep. I'm not a calculus brain person.
Yeah. No, my first semester of college, I'm sitting in a calculus class. I had no idea what I was doing. I had taken pre-calc in high school too and failed it miserably. I don't know why I thought I could just hop in for college. Yeah, I changed my major, ended up finding something that seemed a little more suited for me and thought that that was the right path until I ended up just stopping for several years.
How did you navigate that? I'm in this class, I'm doing this, I didn't do well. Oh, I need to completely change my entire life. How was that conversation? Was that with someone? Was that with yourself? Was that multiple conversations? Was it an advisor? Was it?
It was kind of on my own. I kind of flipped my major and my minor. So originally I was going for meteorology with a minor in geographic information systems.
Okay.
And I said, okay, well, I want to do GIS instead. So I'm just going to switch that to my major. And so I was majoring in GIS with a minor in poli sci for some reason.
Okay.
And I just decided that this is what I want to do next. I honestly don't even remember why. I was 18 and figured that this just makes sense. Why not?
Because I still can't lay out what exactly GIS means.
Geographic information systems.
Which means for the layman.
Is, how do I explain it? It's like satellite mapping.
Okay.
It's much, much more in depth than that.
Right.
But that's the most basic explanation of it.
Okay. Like GPS, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like how the actual inner workings, the map, drift, like all those other things, right?
Yeah, there's
a lot
to
okay.
it. Yep.
Yeah, I think that meteorology class definitely changed it for me for that major. So I was like, this is what I want to do. And I didn't do well. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But I think it's and I've talked about this a lot more. It's been a few years where I feel like college is the only time you get to like fail in like a controlled way or like practice, stumble, fall, pick yourself up, figure out what works best for you. And navigating those different type of things as you take general ed classes and other things, I think is really important as you figure those things out. But in professionally picking the right major, I feel like a lot of students think if I don't do this, oftentimes initially I'm immediately combating, I'm behind.
Yes.
So combating that type aspect, regardless if it's whatever the major is, let alone having the conversation of major doesn't equal job. If you're going to do chemistry, you're going to be a chemist. Those are pretty linear. Like there's a lot of differentiation between those, but picking the right major and explaining to people if they need more than an associate's degree, which many jobs do, the associate's degree, depending on what you're looking at, doesn't necessarily, it's not as linear.
Yeah.
Right. If you want to do social work, we don't have an associate's degree in social work. There's adjacent things like psychology, sociology, human services, depending on what you look at and stuff. But sometimes there's not a direct one-to-one for what you want to do ultimately. But I do think that, I don't think I was actively ignoring, I was in the major that I was, but I was like, I'll just figure it out. And that was the mindset I had until I was like, well, I need to figure it out now and I'm going to be graduating soon. But I ended up staying in that same major for doing broadcasting. But that's also not a, I wouldn't suggest that to people because it caused a lot of stress and anxiety between me and my parents, with advisors and repeating classes and a bunch of things that didn't work out for the best.
I think the feeling like you're behind thing is really common. And it's not just for like when you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you see all of these other students. I mean, especially for us being at Central surrounded by thousands of other people who seem like they all had their life together when in reality, none of them did. It was very easy to feel like you were behind, even, even in just an individual class. Like there was always that handful of students that really just seemed to understand everything and you're sitting there kind of floundering a little bit. But I feel like we see that a lot now too, especially with students that are coming out of the military and thinking, oh, well, I need to be doing this now. And, you know, my E7 told me that I needed to be doing this or I was going to end up working at McDonald's the rest of my life. And now I haven't figured it out after one semester and I'm behind on everything. So,
yeah, I feel like the feeling of behind is very complicated and nuanced for a lot of different reasons, whether it be service or looking at other people of why you feel that overall. I do think it has to do with age also, of people thinking they'd be at a different place and what that is. It's usually the question that I try to ask because they think this will be the thing. And I go, is this the thing you want? And they go, I don't actually know what the thing I want is. I was like, okay, why are we doing this if we don't know what the thing is that we want?
Yeah.
Not that I'm trying to talk them out of classes, but why are you trying to super commit yourself to something that you question mark about if you don't know where you're going to be next after that, which cart before horse type thinking. Yeah. I understand because that's where I would be of being like, this is the next, I just need to make an action. Totally get that. But an action to what?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like from the military side of things, it's so ingrained in us that we have to have the next steps. We have to know what that next step is. We know what our action is and we have to have the next six steps figured out. So I think that probably has to do a lot of it too.
Is that general question then about military or experience working with people that are in the military, do you get permission to pivot and change majors or careers? I mean, it can be reclass or respec, right? Those are terms that I hear. How is that viewed? Because I imagine it's, people can be tight knit and then you're like, actually, I'm gonna go BFFs with someone else. And then like, is that why maybe there's a lot of rift about changing majors if I were to translate that for people or?
Potentially, yeah. I think it kind of depends on what your experience was. So for me, 6 years in human resources, I was burnt out. I was ready to be done. I wanted to just be done. My contract was up. And it was less of a, oh, well, you're leaving us, and more of a, well, have you considered looking at something else that's going to be more interesting for you? So most of the people that I served with, they were supportive of it. And then when I got to the very end of my service time and the position that I was in just wasn't viable anymore, they welcomed me back. Like, hey, come finish out your last 6 months doing your old job. And no hard feelings. But we have another student here at LCC that I've talked with frequently about this. And reclass really isn't an option for them. Like they're happy with what they do, but the unit that they're in, like they clash a lot and they're not really comfortable with what they're doing in the military right now.
Just doesn't suit them.
It doesn't suit them. Yeah. Like the job itself is great. The group that they're with is not.
Gotcha.
And so we've talked about reclass and it's, well, there's no really support for me to reclass. Like there's, I don't know what else I would do. I don't really want to do anything else, but I also don't want to be with the people that I'm with, kind of thing. So I've seen that a lot too. A lot of it comes with like combat arms. It's, you spend all of this time becoming a very, very specialized person in one, in one thing that's usually not going to translate over to the civilian world. And it's very difficult to convince yourself to transition to something else. And there's, there can be a lot of pushback from those around you. Like, well, why would you want to leave us? Like, this is our brotherhood. Like, why would you want to change that?
That totally makes sense. And when we think about trying to figure out, and that's just assuming they want to openly, let alone if there's an injury and they have to leave. I used to work a lot with student athletes, and that was really rough because it would always happen. Someone would get injured, unfortunately, because they're, you know, trying to be at the top of their game, of course, right? And that can happen. And then sidelining themselves, and what does that mean for their mental health? Trying to be, and there's a bunch of research about those things. I think also it's those questions that you said of this individual was saying, like, well, what would I don't think that gets played out very well. And I don't think that there's a lot of good questions that even as me an advisor, I've tried to figure those out. And there's actually a book I'm reading right now that I actually want to talk to you about after this. I've had this that asks good questions, because what do you like to do? I hate that question. I think it's the wrong question because, like, I like to drink craft beer. I'm not going to go brew craft beer. I'm not going to learn chemistry. I'm not going to, like, that's not a good aspect of, if that's you, cool, that's great, right? But what do you like, I think, is a really poor question for navigating that, because I know that I can do this. I don't like it, but I can do it. But what else would I do? Well, I don't know. And I don't think that there's a lot of good questions or a lot of advising to try to help navigate people through those. I have other questions that I ask of, what's the most fulfilling part of your day for what you do? Like, is it because you're interacting with people? Is it because you're on your own? Is it because you're making something? I think we talked about the question before of, do you like to physically see that you've done something at the end of the day? When both of us leave our offices, the office looks the same, right? But if we needed that, and it's okay if you do, some people do. I can't say, oh, I built that. I like demolished that. I mowed this lawn. I have nothing, right, to show for that, but I still feel fulfilled at the end of the day. I still feel good about that. I really think that whoever is the person advising them, whether they're in service or outside of that, navigating those things, well, it's like, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I don't know. That was, I remember being asked that multiple times. Oh, well, you have to know. And it's like, oh, well, now I feel stupid. Like, I should have already known. Oh, that's a really bad, like, I don't believe in that.
Well, and I mean, we see that even when it comes to new recruits, you know, sometimes they walk into a recruiter's office and like, well, I want to join the Army. All right, well, what do you want to do? Why not?
That's what you tell me, right?
And then, you know, I'm not knocking recruiters. One of my best friends was a recruiter for longer. He would hate me if I told how long he was actually a recruiter. But, you know, part of their job is to fill the needs of the military. And so if you walk in and say, I want to join the Marines, I don't know what I want to do. He's got someone yelling at him in the background saying, well, we need this MOS. So get him into this MOS. And you, I mean, you're 18, 19 years old and you have some E6 who, I mean, that rank means nothing to you. You just see a guy in a uniform who's telling you this is what you're going to do. You're like, okay, cool. This is my identity now. And you may hate every second of it, but this is what you were told is going to be your identity. And so this is what the rest of your life is going to be, even if you're only doing this for 3-4 years.
I think when we talk about a lot of these things, and I know that we have some other questions we want to hit on, I think it's, what are the points in your life where you chose and you had your direction? What are the things where you consciously were, that's interesting, I really like doing this, and you were exploring, being curious about something. Me trying to explain and elaborate to someone, like, in that mindset, because I believe all people have done that to different capacities. What's something that you read about that you really enjoy or other aspects of things? And me trying to say that with people being like, oh, I haven't really thought about that. And I might not get it out in a 20-minute convo and whatnot. Does that make sense? Does that resonate with you a little bit? Maybe when you were curious or interested in, like, the time just flew by for you. You're in like a flow state.
I think that's how I finally landed on psychology was, you know, I had those very impactful moments in my life where I realized, oh, okay, I want to focus on mental health. I want to focus on supporting my fellow soldiers, fellow veterans, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I knew that I needed to go back to school for something. And it was actually, it was my husband's first sergeant at the time who, I guess my husband had told him, like, she's planning on getting out, like she wants to reclass if she can find something, she doesn't know what. And he had suggested, well, she's passionate about mental health. Like, there's the mental health specialist, like, why not look into that? And he recommended it in passing. And I remember I started reading into it, like, oh, yep, okay, this actually makes more sense. And this wasn't a first sergeant telling me, well, this is what you should do. Mm-hmm. It was someone that my husband was friends with, someone that we both trusted, saying, mm-hmm. hey, consider it. Like, mm-hmm. helping with those guiding questions that otherwise I probably wouldn't have considered mm-hmm. reclassing. And then I probably wouldn't have considered pursuing it as a major.
I think what you're saying also, and I can think of certain times in my life where someone went, I can see that you're good at this. Mm-hmm. Have you thought about doing this full time? And like, that's what the combo is shortened down to, but of you appear to have interest and genuinely care about this certain aspect. How would you like to do this all the time? And I think that's where translating it to either students that we work with or even in our own time, it wasn't, I'm going to do X because I like watching this show. Mm-hmm. And like, I hear that about psychology, not knocking your field or any of the things within that. People are like, I like watching Criminal Minds. I like watching whatever. And I go, okay, why? Well, this is really interesting. I go, what do you like about it though? Is it this aspect? Is it this? Is it that it's that they're solving something and that you're trying to navigate something that's curious and interests you and you're able to figure it out? Is it the criminal element to it? Is it mm-hmm. like, well, I want to do psychology. And I was like, okay, we can totally try that. but trying to figure out how do you, I think it comes down to life experiences and yeah. I think there just needs to be some more as they develop and figure that out mm-hmm. or try these things where they're like, this is hard and I have interest in it. I remember this class that I had at Central, I was going through my own, like, I had sleep disorders and all this other stuff, completely failed the class. Not a highlight, didn't feel good about it. The instructor though, I knew was very hard. Everyone knew that she was really hard, mm-hmm. but I knew when I went to it, she was passionate and I would learn a lot from it. Mm-hmm. So I knew that, like, I was like, hey, can I even pass? And she's like, you're not going to be able to. And I was like, I still want to keep coming. I still want to learn a lot because I do enjoy it. She's like, okay, I'm just letting you know, like, this is where your grade's going to be likely. And I was like, okay. I really enjoyed it. And she was a person that was really passionate about it and wasn't hard about it in the grading, but was, hey, this is why. And this is where, especially when it comes to audio, because it's like slightly art form things, mm-hmm. because if it doesn't sound right, it doesn't sound right to anyone. When you listen to stuff and you're a commercial on the air, the way they explained it was, if it's going well, no one says anything about it. Mm-hmm. Once they say something about it, that's because everyone goes, that doesn't sound right.
Yep.
This doesn't work. And she was just overall a really engaged person into the subject. And I was like, oh, I found this exciting, even though I wasn't doing well at it. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a moment for me where I was like, maybe I really want to do this all the time. What experiences do you think had the biggest impact on your perspective of like what you wanted to do with it? Because yeah, you had psychology, but you could have said no
yeah.
to that position, because there's doing and then liking.
Yeah. And I think that's been the biggest thing is I'm very passionate about psychology. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything with it right now.
Sure.
And that's kind of what it ended up boiling down to was I was passionate in it. And I had a couple of opportunities where I could do that job specifically. Mm-hmm. And I could actually use my degree in the way that most people intend to use their degrees. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot you can do with just a bachelor's in psychology. Mm-hmm. And the more I look into master's programs, and we've had this discussion many times, but the more I look into master's programs, the more it's like, well, I don't want to do clinical. I don't want to do research. I would love to do research, but that's not what I'm passionate about anymore.
Sure.
And so I'm working in veteran services, and that's all I've done for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's more so I'm able to use what I've learned in support of what I'm doing, but working in the jobs that I've been working in and knowing that there are needs that psychology can kind of fit, mm-hmm. but it's not required to, like, I'm using it to bolster the support for the people that I'm mm-hmm. trying to help, I guess.
I think you've learned, and this is where I have the conversation with students where they're usually try to say, like, doing an associate's over a certificate. Outside of certain trade positions, it just makes sense most of the time to do the associate's. Like, well, why do I have to do this stuff? I'm not interested in that. You know how much work you're going to not be interested in that in your career you're going to have to do? There's going to be a lot of things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to navigate those processes, try to figure out what a group project is, if the group isn't willing to cooperate. Those are all those things where it's hard and it's frustrating possibly, or you really just don't get it, but you're going to have to do those things. And learning that now in this controlled environment, and me trying to explain that to someone that's like, I just want to graduate. And I go, I totally hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And me saying, I know what's best for you because I also screwed up a lot is not like a really good selling point usually. But like you were saying, the bolstering aspect, the radio broadcasting degree. Yeah, I'm using it currently in this moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But me trying to convey how I show up, and maybe it's a little psychology with it, of when I'm interacting with someone, my job is to try to convey all the info I can for them. I'm not doing sales, right? It's not sales because like that would be gross. I'm trying to convince someone, hey, this is the best path for you.
Mm-hmm.
My incentive is only like holistic of what I'm trying to do. This is why you should do these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you shouldn't do. And trying to convince them to do that while listening to them. Maybe it's more sales. Gosh, what degree did I get? I don't even know. But like you're saying, it really bolsters what you're doing. You're not doing clinical work in that capacity. But if you got a degree in accounting or something, how helpful would you have been in these interactions versus the stuff in the classes and the things that you've done, what you've understood?
Yeah.
Maybe not as much. Maybe. I'm not certain.
I mean, it probably would have been helpful in other realms that I've worked in previously, but not so much now. But
no,
yeah.
No. How do you separate outside expectations from what you really want? I feel like that is a really, that could be a whole episode, right?
That it could be. I feel like it's really difficult to explain to a student, like, this is what you think that it's going to look like,
mm-hmm.
but that's not what the real world looks like. I mean, we've had this discussion a mm-hmm. lot about, you know, things that we see in media.
Yes.
And how things actually work.
Yes.
And so many times people will have the expectation of, well, this is what it was like in this TV show or in this movie, or mm-hmm. this is what my parents experienced
for sure.
45 years ago.
Super valid. Mm-hmm. Or this is what I'm currently reading in media.
Yeah.
Of what I should X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And like, well, AI is going to take everything. And I was like, no, it's not. And me as an advisor, no, I'm not the expert in that aspect, but. Will it augment things? Yes. Does it move quickly? Yes. Is it really good at things? Yes. Is it going to replace these things? No. It's not going to replace all these aspects because people aren't going to want that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we already get frustrated when I call Walgreens and I have to yell representative, I don't care what type of AI bot, I'm going to have to talk to a person about something at some point.
Yep.
So it can help offset some certain things, but not completely change. I think figuring out the expectations, especially professionally when I'm working with students, of I'm not certain what I want to do for sure. What does like post-graduation look like? Mm-hmm. What do you want from life? Which is even a harder question, I feel like, but that's a really important one of, is it family? Is it this amount of money? Is it these type of things? What are these factors that you want? And are you going to hit that in the time frame that you think? Because someone described this, like the first 10 years outside of when you graduate is just like, maybe this suck period kind of, mm-hmm. you're not the highest on the ladder. You're the youngest person there. Everyone around you is likely older, depending on where you work. Your friend group is different. You moved far away. It's exciting because you're having all these experiences at the same time, but you're getting all the assignments maybe you don't want.
Yeah.
You don't get to do all the stuff you want because you're the least senior person there, and it's a lot of proving yourself, which can be really frustrating because you mm-hmm. come out of, I would say people come out of school like hot, where they want to be really like, I'm really invested in the theory and I understand these things and I want to do this, but
then they get
I have to do this assignment though. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think, and again, kind of looking at it from the military standpoint too, like we have these expectations that this is what our life is going to look like. Or even like working with some of the veterans that we do work with that maybe have some kind of service-connected disability, and they expected they were going to do 20 years, and I expected I was going to do 20 years in. I was out after, what, 7? It's balancing that expectation and then expect like figuring out, okay, I didn't think that I was going to have a civilian career mm-hmm. until I was 45, 50. And then I was going to have that civilian retirement. But now I'm 26 and I need to figure out what my life is going to look like now. There's a lot of shifting of those expectations first, and then getting here and talking with us and trying to figure out what school expectations are going to look like, and then what those new career it's complicated. And I can see it a lot of times when I'm meeting with especially a lot of our younger veterans who I think were probably in the same boat. They thought that they were going to have these lifelong careers in the military, and 4 or 5 years in, they got injured or something happened and they had to get out. And so they're having to shift their entire expectation. And I feel for them. I really do. It sucks.
It's very jarring, I imagine.
It is, But I think having those very realistic conversations is huge. That's how I know I think you sell yourself a little short on it. You get through to a lot of them very well. Because I end up having the follow-up conversations with them. They're like, I talked with Dustin about this, and I think this is what I want to do now. And he told me
I softened them up for you? You're welcome.
Yeah, you do. Yep. You got to loosen that jar a little bit for me, so...
It's a team effort.
It is. Yep.
Okay. Well, I think we'll be talking about expectations again next time. So join us then. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
You've been listening to B2B, Boots to Books.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the inspiring stories of veterans and military-connected students.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your community.
We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us on social media or take a listen to previous episodes at lccconnect.com or your favorite streaming platform.
Remember, every story is a step forward.
And together, we can build a bridge from boots to books.
Until next time, stay strong.
And keep moving forward.